Just share with you guys our Healthy and Whole Marriages journey, as well as providing the principles and tools and things of that nature that have impacted our journey. Healthy and Whole Marriages is an organization focused on encouraging married couples to have healthy and whole marriages, thereby cultivating healthy and whole families and healthy and whole communities. So again, if it's your first time here, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us and giving us the time and opportunity to share with you. We pray that something you hear not only encourages you, but inspires you to, you know, dig more deeply for your own legacy and your marriage. Tonight, today, this afternoon, whenever you get the opportunity to watch this particular live or listen, whatever the case may be, we decided to, I guess, in an impromptu way, share about 16 lessons, perspectives, points of advice, things of that nature from 16 years of marriage. Our anniversary was on May 26th, and that's when we turned 16 years old. But before we go any further, what we're going to do is proceed with prayer. That's the way we start everything. So if you would join us by extending your faith, your mind, as we go before the throne of grace.
Father God, we thank you. We praise and bless your name again, God, for this opportunity to come before your people. I ask that you would bless every word that will come out of our mouths tonight. God, we ask that you would bless your people, those that will view, those that will take these lessons, oh God, to heart. God, I pray that marriages are strengthened through this podcast. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen.
Amen. If you guys are enjoying what you are receiving from us, please make sure you include notifications so that you can know when we're doing things, the new things drop. Let me back up and say this before we dive deep into this 16-year or this list of 16 things. Thank you so much for your grace of growing with us on this journey as well. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot going on in the last couple months, and things have been all over the place, trying to catch up with the summer and our children, and just a lot going on in life. As people are saying, life is lifing to the fullest. And we'll share more about that later as well, but just thank you so much for joining if it's your first time, or if you have been a consistent follower, thank you so much for the grace to do the journey with us. So without further ado, I'm going to let him start with his list. We actually tried to separate it by 8 things each to try to simplify it and not be sweating in front of you guys. So,
all right. Number one, understand your wife's strengths. I believe over the course of these 16 years, I understand that my wife knows more than what I ever thought she knew. But the problem was, I did not ask, or in some instance, even allow her to be who God has called her to be. And I would say in some instance, it hindered our relationship. Once found that aspect out of our relationship, things began to move in the right direction. Any comments?
No, that was interesting that we're like being more particular, but go ahead.
What?
You're fine. You said
you can respond
your
to
wife's, no, I'm fine. You said know your wife's strengths.
Yeah, know your wife's strengths. Okay. Number two, listen more, talk less. That is a tough one for me because I like to talk. But the reality in relationships, it's imperative that you listen. I've heard it said that God has given us 2 ears, 1 mouth, and we should listen at least twice as much as we talk. And I believe that also when you listen, you show respect to your spouse in the appropriate ways, that what they're saying is also important in your relationship.
I agree. It just made me think of Hamilton and our children recently watching it, and they are picking up on some of those lines, and that's definitely one of the lines that would say it. Listen more, talk less, because you can learn a little bit more when you're not talking as much sometimes. And sometimes listening is all that's needed, but that's just my,
that's good,
my taking a moment to expound on that. Number two.
Number three, don't neglect quality time. I often confuse that with providing for our family as it relates to work and doing for our family. And then also putting children in the midst of, I guess, out of sorts, if you will, and forgetting that this beautiful body brought them to me, and I must make certain that I spend quality time with her. And it needs to be intentional. And I believe that helped a relationship continue to cultivate itself over time, is to understand that there's nothing more important than building quality time and building relationship, building one-on-one time, intimacy, however you want to put it. But you have to have that time day in and day out. And whatever those moments are, it could be simple things. It could be even more complex things throughout the day. But definitely want to make certain that you're spending time, quality time. Number four, I'm sorry. Do you have
anything? You're fine now.
Okay. Number four, be willing to have conversation. Again, in my field of work, I feel like I talk so much during the day that sometimes I don't have anything to say when I get home. Well, that's an issue, because this is the most important job that I would ever have, is to support and uphold and uplift my wife. And it's important that my conversation isn't over once I get here, but it actually that it's just beginning and really cultivating and moving in the direction that it needs to move in. Make time for your spouse to have unique conversation. Don't just talk about weather. Talk about real issues to ensure that your relationship continues to grow.
And I'll expound on that in the respect of, yes, you may be in a position, may have a career that requires you to speak a lot. I practiced years as an attorney. But for me, what I've learned is that in some cases where people feel like their marriages, or particularly they grew apart as a couple from their spouse, it's because they stopped inviting, informing, including their spouse in their day-to-day lives.
That's good.
And the best way that you can do that, the essential way, the primary way that you can ensure that you're not growing apart, is by speaking and communicating with one another what's going on throughout your day. You have to include your spouse with the day-to-day life, your individual side of things as well, so that they will continue to know who you are and what's going on. Life brings about changes, and if they don't know what is bringing about a change in you, then yes, it's going to result in a growing apart. You can definitely mature at different levels, but still be able to be one with one another and communicate with one another and continue to be, you know, in a fellowship and a relationship. But the growing apart, it is inevitable if you're not communicating and including one another.
Agreed. Number five for me is weekly intimacy. And that needs to be defined in your relationship. Whether that's physical touch, whether that's spending quality time, whether that's going in to certain places, whatever intimacy you need to continue to cultivate your relationship, doesn't matter if you have children or not, you need to make certain that, number one, that you understand what intimacy is to your spouse and make certain that you practice it daily, whether that's a kiss on the cheek, whatever it is, make certain that you understand the intimacy level.
Absolutely.
Number six for me is to work as a team. Your wife, in my case, will be here to complete me, not to compete with me. And it's easy to get caught up in individuality when you have your own separate careers and things are going in different directions. And one moment, Damien is being promoted and Now, the moment I'm being promoted. But never forget that you guys are on the same team. Don't want anything to come in between that. I believe that's when separation happens in a relationship. When you figure, hey, I'm in this for me and I need to accomplish this in my relationship. That's when team effort can break down because you're focused on what you can do. Make certain that the success is a team success instead of an individual success. You're on the same side, same part of the game. Work together.
Absolutely.
Have fun. As number 7 for me, it doesn't matter how serious life becomes, and life will come with ups and downs. It's inevitable. Life will come with deaths. Life will come with sickness. Life will come with unemployment. Life will come with just wholehearted disappointment sometimes. Just you didn't support the way that you needed to support. Make certain that you have fun. And I like this part of it for me is to, when I really thought about this, we're making memories every day. You determine whether they're good or bad. And if you're going to have good memories, if you're going to have fun in every day, that needs to be a part, because when difficulty come, and it's coming, it's on the horizon. You got to be able to pull back on some of those memories and some of the good times in order to sustain the relationship. So focus on having fun. And then lastly, we started this way tonight. It's in prayer. One thing that I would say that God corrected me most on is how to treat my wife effectively. But that happened in intimacy with him and sincere prayer. That aspect brought out a different type of husband, because now I was giving up my part as I am up under the mission of God. And if I'm going to submit to him effectively, I must have relationship with him effectively. And now I can effectively play for my wife, and she won't have a problem with submitting unto me because she knows where the head is. I learned that through prayer. And I learned that through consistent prayer. It sounds cliche. A family that prays together stays together. But it's actually something to it, because you're relinquishing the power of who you are as an individual and saying, Lord, I'm going to trust who I say I believe in. And I'm going to give up all to you. And if I pray effectively, you're going to give me what to do, how to say it, how to treat, where to move, whatever it is. If you're praying together, there's no good thing that God will withhold from your relationship. That's my 8.
I love it. I'm trying to think if there was something that you said. I don't recall on the last 2 things if there was anything in particular, but I enjoyed that. So my 8... Number 1, no particular order is to be considered here, but laugh. Laughing mm-hmm. is good, as the Bible says, yeah. is good medicine, it's good for the soul. And when you can laugh at things, you're not taking everything so seriously, as you've already alluded to. When you can laugh at things, you're making good memories. When you can laugh at things, it relieves stress. It makes a more lighthearted situation. And even in between the two of you, if you're, you know, you have some tension, some conflict going on. Number 2, praying together, as you just heard him say, that's usually my number 1 on the list, but
of course,
it probably would still be, like, I would just say make that number 1, right? Praying together just allows you to build intimacy, create intimacy. Mm-hmm. You definitely need to pray individually as well for each other. But when you can take a moment to pray together for each other, when you can pray and be of the same mind about certain things and take those issues before God in prayer, it solidifies, I think, your marriage a little bit more. It fortifies it even mm-hmm. more as well, because you are a force reminding each other as well as the enemy, that you all believe in that three-strand cord, and you're Amen. Reminding each other and the enemy that you're inviting the third strand, which is the primary strand, and that's God, to keep you guys together and to work out whatever issues that's going on at the time. Number three, be friends. I think this encompasses mm-hmm. quite a bit, right? You can't really laugh as heartily as you would like if it's not a good friend, right? Yeah. You know that laughter that's like almost guttural, and you're crying mm-hmm. and you might be sliding down on the floor, all of that. If yeah. you're friends, I have always had this belief that friendship was the foundation. And I may have gotten mm-hmm. this from my parents. Very likely may have gotten this from my parents, because they spoke about being each other's best friends while married. But I learned along the way that friendships, and in observing other people, especially legally in marriages that were, you know, coming apart, and in my office because they were seeking a divorce, that when there's a friendship intact, mm-hmm. a lot of times people care more about the friend, right? When there are two different relationships going on, you're going to, if you all take a moment to observe some things, or even, you know, retrospectively think back on your own relationships, you'll notice that friendships are held a little more highly. They're esteemed a little bit more than relationships nowadays, right? We don't want to upset a friend. Mm. We don't want to step on a friend's toes. We don't want to offend a friend. If they ask you a question about how they look in a certain outfit or whatever, you're going to probably take an extra step, an extra thought, to make sure that you don't hurt their feelings in trying to tell them the truth. But when we are involved in a relationship, we let that guard down quite a bit more, and you're a little more frivolous with the person's feelings and their heart and things of that nature. But when you have that foundation of a friendship, then you're ensuring, if you will, and almost solidifying that when the rubber meets the road, when you have those trials, those tribulations, mm-hmm. those ups and downs, that there's a strong likelihood, if nothing else, a strong hope, that the friendship part will kick in even more. And this person will consider, I don't want to hurt my friend. Mm-hmm. I don't want to offend my friend, upset my friend, and ruin the friendship aspect of this relationship, and take extra steps to make sure that that's intact. And that will then benefit the romantic relationship as well. So make sure that you're being friends. And along with being friends, of course, when you're being friends, right, you're going to take the time to do the quality time. You're going to take the time to do the things that are going to enhance and further the friendship. So definitely be friends. That also includes dating, right? You're going to, what you want to do tonight, or let's make sure we go out and have fun in some shape, form, or fashion. And the conversations are unlimited when you're friends with someone. Mm-hmm. You know, yes, there are some friendships where, you know, there are, you know, just certain things you can talk about. And if there are certain things you can talk about, then that, even that list is endless. You're going to talk about that in so many different facets. With a friend, a best friend that you're also romantically involved with, the whole thing should be endless. There's an endless gamut of things you can discuss, whether they're frivolous or not. And so friendship is definitely a strong, strong foundation that is essential for a healthy and whole marriage. Number four, expect change. Mm. When you get married, whether you were 19, whether you were 29, whether you were 39, whether you're 59, first time, second time, third time, whatever, change is going to take place. And if we do not acknowledge and embrace the fact that change takes place, we are not going to be as gracious about our relationship and our partners, right? Because every day brings about change. We're not the same as we were the day before. Mm-hmm. There are circumstances in life itself that takes place that requires change, that matures us, that, as you stated, grieving, just certain things, loss of job, whatever. And so that's going to create a change of who you are. Mm-hmm. Prayerfully, you've matured since the time that you initially got married. I am not the same 26-year-old, 27-year-old person that said I do. I've become a mom. I've become a professional. We've moved several times. All of the life experiences that mm-hmm. you can put into the bowl alone are enough to have two people in a relationship that have, you know, are inevitably changing. Mm-hmm. And because of the changes, you have to stay intact with one another and check in with one another to ensure that you all are still good. It's the, I think the intimacy check-in that he spoke about earlier, we do a weekly check-in just to try to, you know, sit down and discuss maybe business stuff, things of that nature. And however long it may take, it could be an hour, it could be 30 minutes, it could be a couple hours. Doing that, you're still in ensuring that you know what's going on in each other's lives. Mm-hmm. You're acknowledging the changes, making the other aware of the changes that you're experiencing. So definitely expect change, because when whoever came up with, the mentality that your spouse should not change, I think you might be a little too immature to get married. You've changed since the time you made the statement, right? You change your mind every day, several times a day. And to not expect your spouse to change is just silly. Yeah. I mean, if you mean the crux of who they are, their core values, things of that nature, then yes, mm-hmm. absolutely. I totally agree with that. But most of the time when you hear people not expecting folks to change or their spouse to change, it's usually something that is inevitably going to change mm-hmm. because life just is going to result in that being a change. Create a vision. This was not always our thing. It has become very much so mine over the last few years in creating a vision. Of course, we know, or if you don't know, definitely, you know, check behind me. But Habakkuk 2:2 says, write the vision and make it plain so that he who runs may read it. Right? So if you have a vision, and then I can't remember what president if stated this, but if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Mm-hmm. If you don't have a vision, we all have had goals in our life in some shape, form, or fashion. And when you think about it, when you set a goal for something and mm-hmm. accomplished it, oh my gosh, it meant so much more, right? When you realize mm-hmm. that you had the goal set, you actually have your vision of that goal, like literally the sight of that goal, empowers you almost. It encourages you to move forward to ensure that you accomplish that goal. So if you sit down with your spouse and say, okay, let's see what our vision is for this month, next 6 months, for the year, this year, whatever the case may be, then together you guys are going to come on to one accord to sit down and discuss, how can we accomplish this particular goal? What is our vision for this mm-hmm. year? How can we ensure that this happens? Okay, this didn't work. This didn't work. Let's see what else could work in place of this so that we can accomplish this particular vision. Another reason why I think this is so essential, or two reasons why I think it's so essential, is because it sets you up and ensures the success of your marriage. If you don't have a vision for your marriage, you kind of just end the relationship because somebody told you, or it's the societal norm to be married, right? But when you have a vision, that means you've taken the time to sit down together mm-hmm. to establish maybe more than just being in love. Why are we together? What are we here to do? What can we accomplish together? Because we're all here for a purpose. And the beauty of being married is that God gives you a purpose collectively as well. And to sit down and discuss what that purpose may be for the year, what the ultimate purpose may be that he's put you guys together for, it's just going to result in the most beautiful thing. So it ensures your success. And I think I just forgot my second point on the important reason of having a vision for your marriage. But other than that, I will say it sets a tone for your legacy as well. Whether you have children or not, there are people that are looking at you. There are people that are admiring you, your relationship. And so when you have that vision in place and you guys are accomplishing things, mm-hmm. guess what? That's where the hashtag marriage goals come from, right? People mm-hmm. are looking at what other people are doing, and they love what they've seen as a success story. But that, more likely than not, those people have set goals as a couple. and they've accomplished those goals as a couple. You trying to do it without being a part of the team strains the team, and you will not be able to accomplish that goal. Mm-hmm. So get before God together and discuss, what is it that you have for us to do together this year, this month, these next 6 months, God? He may not give you what y'all are together for, you know, in general, but it may be those small things along the way. And then retrospectively, you can say, I see the whole picture. This is what he gave us to do. This is why he pulled us together, and nobody else could do this as a couple. So make sure that you sit down and you create a vision. And also, it's hard not to have a vision and you want somebody to lead you. It's very difficult. They don't know where they're going. They don't know what the goal is. You're just going day to day, day by day, doing. And it's like, okay, well, I know today, let me just make sure everybody stays alive. And sometimes that's the best you can do. But a lot of times we have to have more than that. So I'll move on before we lose someone here.
Yeah.
The number six, make plans. It goes along with that. It's okay to have plans individually and collectively, but make sure that you have those plans in place so that you can set everything else to work with that. So it's along the same lines as the vision. Communication. There are going to be conflicts. There are going to be, if y'all can tell, we're already overlapping, right, quite a bit with our 16, but communication is essential. It ensures that you are growing together. It ensures that you guys are on one accord. It's just through friendship, you're going to communicate. But I've heard once compassionate communication is very important, and we can see it, look at it more so as compassionate communication. Why compassionate communication? Is because you are more likely to empathize and understand,
mm-hmm.
and not be prepared to be on the defensive as quickly. I think also when we think of communication, we hear it so often, it becomes cliche-ish, but we neglect the thought that communication includes listening.
Mm-hmm.
It also includes how we listen and how we speak to one another. So make sure that you are showing compassion when you're communicating with one another, whether it is in the midst of a conflict or otherwise.
That's good.
That change that I spoke about, there's change that's going to happen in life, in you individually, in your bodies, as time progresses, as we get older, all of those things. So definitely make sure that you have that in your mind. When you get married, you're not thinking about all of those things. And I feel like I'm missing one. And I am, because I was looking at my list and forgot. So, and just know love isn't enough alone.
That's
love cool. is not enough alone. So maybe this is my eighth one. It sounds harsh, but the truth of the matter is love is an action word. And when we think of love, especially in a romantic relationship, we often equate it with a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But it shouldn't just be a feeling. And it can't just be a feeling. And this is when that friendship is more essential as well. It's because things will happen where you're going to need the love of your friend because you're not in a loving mindset romantically. You may have experienced a relative's death and you're not thinking about all of the romantic things, but you need a friend. You're not wanting all of the romantic things, but you need a friend. And when you have that person who you also anticipate being your life partner, since we use that phrase so much now, we have to consider that when we get married, the life partner part means that you're wanting that person to be a part of your life journey. You're not going to have to prayerfully experience the life without having this person to uplift you and encourage you along that journey, right? Mm-hmm. So when you incur individual trials and tribulations, at least you have someone that you can rely on. At least you have at least one somebody to lean on when you're going through those things. When whatever may happen, loss of job even, you don't know which way to turn, here's your friend who's also by the benefit somebody you're romantically involved with as well, and they're going to ensure that you're taken care of holistically. So those would be my eight. If I neglected something, y'all let me know that I did not count well, and I will make sure I give you guys the other one. But definitely that would be my eight to go along with his eight. Of course, they overlapped, and that's not a bad thing that they overlap, so that you all can acknowledge how important those things are in your relationship. That has been our particular journey with biblical principles applied as well. And again, whatever you've heard, pretty much everything that we've said comes with some type of biblical principle. I always stand behind. Oh, yeah, definitely. So go back and check on those things as we spoke about laughter. Always standing behind communication and prayer. We're supposed to pray about everything and without ceasing. With regards to communication, definitely life and death are in the power of the tongue. And God created everything starting with a word, right? So what can you anticipate your words to do as it relates to your marriage and where it's going to go? We spoke about vision. That's in the Bible as well. So all of those things, go back and look at it. Being friends, friend closer than a brother, iron sharpens iron. I will say this last thing, because we're not supposed to be as long. Iron sharpens iron, and how that relates in marriage. A lot of us don't like the sharpening part. Iron sharpens iron. We like to apply it as it relates to friendship, right? Just friendship. But you have a problem with it, and you're going to have a problem with iron sharpening iron when you're not friends with your spouse. So that when they point out things that are supposed to be helpful to you, that are your weak spots, and they're trying to help iron those things out, sharpen those things out for you, you're irritated. It's too much. You can't tell me nothing. And guess what? I'm getting ready to go. You're not the right mate. I chose the wrong person. Marriage is going to help refine us. Marriage is going to prune us in a lot of different ways. And God has given that person to help you be what he needs you to be. And if you're not willing to be iron that will sharpen your spouse or be sharpened by your spouse, then you need to pray and ask God what your next step is. Because definitely just jumping out of the situation because you don't think they should be trying to help you or you don't like what they're saying is not the best way to go. There's too much connected to marriage. So that's all. I'm going to stop there because I can go on that point by itself for a while. I truly appreciate you guys. We truly appreciate you guys for taking the time to include us as part of your marital journey. Do you have anything else?
No, ma'am. I think you've covered it.
All right. Well, this was intriguing for the both of us, I think. 16 years in, and I've enjoyed spending time with other couples as well, so I will say that too. Make sure that you're around other healthy and whole marriages, other healthy and whole couples. You have a healthy and whole marriage community that is going to help encourage you and uplift you on your marital journey as well. And y'all, make sure that you chime in to all of the Healthy and Whole Marriages things. Go to our website so you can make sure you're not missing anything. Follow us on our social media sites so you're not missing anything. And you can be sure to be at our conferences as well. So that's all we have at this time. We are going to pray out and pray for you guys as well.
God, we thank you for the time that we've spent here. God, we pray that the words, the thoughts, the lessons, our experience will prick the heart of one. And God, we know that you will leave the 99 for the one every day of the week. And God, I pray that you will just touch the one, oh God, and that there will be testimony that these keys helped. God, we thank you for our relationship. God, we thank you for where you have brought us to. And God, we pray for longevity in our relationship. We rebuke the enemy on every hand that comes to destroy. God, help us to keep you in the center of all that we do and say. God, we don't count a discount to stand on this platform, oh God, even to give you glory and to give you praise regarding marriage. God, we know it is your purest example of life, us married to you, oh God, to show this world that you care so much. God, so I pray that we will uphold our vows. God, we pray that you will bless families everywhere. God, that they won't falter, that they won't lose hope. God, that they will keep you first, that they will lean upon you when they don't have anything else to lean upon. God, we thank you for your word. Help us to use your word, God. Help us to understand the time that we spend with you is important in building our relationships effectively. God, thank you for all that you're doing through the healthy and whole marriage family. Continue to bless your people. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen. Until next time, be healthy.
Be whole. Be blessed is our prayer.
Have a great
rest of your day.
Thanks, guys.